Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. So, what's up? What's new? What's new at the University of Montana this school year? Some pretty cool things, STEM programs, healthcare degrees, wildfire sciences, a college of science, veteran support. And we'll also look, of course, the Grizz are going to field formidable teams that will lay down a good old up with Montana pounding, right? Yeah, of course, you can tell my alumni colors are showing today. And with a lot going on at the University of Montana, UM President Seth Bardner is going to join us. And we'll look at higher education as well, keeping it affordable. That's today on Voices of Montana. The focus will be on education today, right? And some of the things that are going on at the University of Montana College of Science. That's going to be new. UM's STEM curriculum kind of standing out here. Occupational therapy and the Center for Hunting and Conservation. And there's also a UM military reunion and a focus as well on more veterans in the education system as well. As we welcome a veteran himself and Seth Bodner to president of the University of Montana, two voices of Montana. Good morning, Seth. How are you doing, sir?
Good morning, Tom. I'm doing very well. It's great to be with you.
Thank you for being here. Appreciate that. Let's talk about the busyness of this time, right? I mean, there's all this excitement. There are things going right. Maybe there's some things going wrong. I don't think, if you're in academia, the start of a new school year, I don't think you can beat it.
Oh, it's an exciting time of year. I tell you, I was on Monday, we moved our new freshmen in, and each year I'm out there unloading pickup trucks and cars and carrying little micro fridges into dorm rooms, and just to see the excitement on these students and a little bit of anxiety and anticipation of what's ahead, and the parents dropping them off. It's a great time of year.
What's your recommendation for any student or even a teacher? How do you approach a new school year? With openness, I presume, but, you know, from your standpoint, what's the readiness factor?
You know, what I tell our students, I just talked to them yesterday, our new freshmen, and I said, you know, I shared 3 points with them. Aside from saying, look, if you feel nervous, that's okay, that's normal. But I said, number one, you're at a university where every single day, every single employee is going to show up at this university with their primary focus being helping you to succeed and reach your full potential. That's number one. We're going to show up for you. Number two, I said, but you got to show up for yourself. You got to take advantage of these opportunities that are presented to you. I believe to my core that you can receive at the University of Montana as good an education as you can at any institution in this country. That is a fact. But you got to show up for yourself. You got to do it. And then the third point is we said, look, all these new freshmen, they're Grizzlies now. They're part of the Grizz family. And I said, Grizzlies are tough. You know that. Anybody who's surprised a Grizzly knows that that's not a fun experience, right? But Grizzlies are playful. Grizzlies are innovative. And most importantly, Grizzlies look out for each other. So I said, this is a place where we're going to expect you to show up for each other, celebrate each other's successes, help each other along the way. This is a place where together we go far. So we're going to show up for you. You got to show up for yourself, and we expect you to show up for each other. Those are the three messages that I gave to our incoming freshmen yesterday.
I like that. How was it received? What is today's student like? There are a lot of career opportunities. People are no longer going, you know, I'm going to be in this career for 30, 40 years.
Well, you know, it's an interesting question. You know, what is today's student, right? There's so many different types of students. And look, we are, you know, if I had to say one word that defines our efforts here, it's impact. You know, we're trying to continuously innovate and adapt to have a positive impact on the lives of our students and the lives of all Montanans. And, you know, you think about students today, they're entering a very dynamic workplace, right? And that's not just the 18-year-olds to 22-year-olds who are fresh out of high school. Those are people later in their careers who need to reskill or upskill or shift careers. And we see it as our mission here to serve students of at all stages of their lives and careers. And so, yes, we're excited about the freshmen that are showing up here. We're just as excited about the partnership programs that we've created over the last 5 years to serve new students. The ways we're working with employers across the entire state, you know, from obviously here in Missoula, but all the way out to Miles City and beyond, to help people not with just a 2-year or a 4-year or a graduate degree, but with a short-term training program to meet their needs and get them into jobs. And we've put over the last 3-4 years about 3,500 people through programs like that, with over a 90% placement rate among those who are reporting back. Now, those numbers, you won't see those in our official enrollment stats, right? Because they're technically not for credit. But those are students, and those are students, and those are employees who are driving the economy of Montana.
Seth Bodner with us, 19th president of the University of Montana, served at West Point as well, and seeing really new growth at the University of Montana. I want to talk about the College of Sciences, but staying with this kind of topic here, Seth, as you talked about, there are some new things going on, and there are new ways, I think, that people want to be educated, you know, and need to be trained lifelong. But then I also think, and this was the question I kind of had here, you know, since 2018, you've been in it 6-7 years, if I'm doing the math, or coming up on. The university system, higher education, there's this unique combination of new and old, right? Want to bring in the new, but you want to preserve the old, the traditions. As you have now been the president of this university since 2018, what is your sense? Does this sense of tradition sink in a little farther? You know, can you maybe talk about that?
You know, look, we are always seeking a better way, right? There's an old adage that says better is always possible, okay? And so I think, yes, we honor tradition, but we look to the future. And we're constantly looking at ways we need to adapt. The world's changing. Mm-hmm. So does higher education have to change. And, you know, we think about our model of education here at the university in a really comprehensive way. You know, obviously, first and foremost, we need to make sure that we're putting students through programs that are preparing them to succeed in careers and be able to support themselves and their families. And we've really adapted our efforts there, our career services. We've renewed our whole approach there. And frankly, our last graduating class, we saw within 6 months, over 91% of those graduates were either employed in graduate school, in the military, or some other service type work. And that's a 20 percentage point improvement over just 5 years ago. So we're doing a good job of preparing Grizzlies for the workplace. But I think college can be more than that and should be more than that. College also ought to be a place where you have that, what I'd call social-emotional maturation, right? Mm-hmm. Developing those skills to build a life of wellness for yourself and healthy relationships. And then also a place where you're building what I would call those habits of character to engage meaningfully as a citizen of your community. And we're taking a really comprehensive approach. We call it the Montana way here at the University of Montana, the distinctive way in which we educate our students to thrive in an uncertain future.
What's enrollment look like this fall? I know you don't have numbers necessarily at the handy here.
Yeah, but no, we don't have those numbers yet. I think we'll be slightly up this year, which is good. And as we talk about enrollment, right, we like to see those numbers go up. More important, though, than just the number is how well our students are succeeding. You know, are students coming here and are they succeeding? And one of the things that we're super proud of is, as we look at a few things, you know, are students staying for that second year? Are they graduating on time? And our first to second year retention rate looks to be the highest ever recorded at the University of Montana. Our 4-year graduation rate, looking at the data as of this summer, our 4-year graduation rate has increased by a third over the past 5 years. So Grizzlies are not just coming here, they're staying here, they're succeeding and graduating. at rates higher than we've ever seen. And actually, they're out-competing their peers nationally. You know, I got a picture not too long ago of two recent graduates, Coulter Stevenson from Amsterdam, Montana, population 207, and Bea Frizzell from Polson, Montana. She's a Polson Pirate. And those two sent me a picture of them together in the middle of Oxford, England, at Oxford University. Coulter was there on a Rhodes Scholarship. Bea was there on a Marshall Scholarship. These are students who outcompeted not just Ivy League students, but the very top students at Ivy League schools. And we see that across the board. Our students are getting into med school, law school at rates 20 percentage points above the national average. And so we're really exciting, not just excited about not just the way we focused on that total enrollment, but the ways in which our students are succeeding and the ways in which, again, we're serving thousands of students in new and innovative ways that don't necessarily show up in our enrollment numbers, but they darn sure show up in terms of the impact that they're making here in the state of Montana.
And I got to believe that shows up in your cultures. You talk about that graduation rate and the success of those students being the primary focus. That has got to be, and I'm thinking about your teachers and your professors and the other administrators there. When they see those students succeeding at that level, that's probably got to be one of the highest morale boosts that you can get in education.
Oh, absolutely. And it's in line with our mission. You know, I always tell people our mission can be summarized by two words, and those two words are inclusive prosperity. And what do we mean by that? Well, we mean by that UM is a place where it doesn't matter where you come from, who your parents were, what high school you went to, what political party you're a part of, how much money you have. This is a place where if you're willing to come here, show up and work hard, you can succeed and you can reach your full potential. I often tell our team, you know, look, if we accepted only 5% of the people who applied and we charged them $80,000 a year, our job would be pretty easy. We choose to be a place that accepts about 95% of the people who apply. We charge them 1/10 of that, and we still produce Rhodes Scholars and Marshall Scholars and have these outcomes. And I believe that what we do here in terms of providing opportunity and social mobility is vitally important, not just to the health of the state of Montana, but to the health of the republic.
Seth Bodner with us, University of Montana's president since 2018. Also, distinguished military background, too. Served as a Green Beret in the U.S. Army's 1st Special Forces Group and also taught at West Point following that as well. And you guys have got to focus. There's a ton of new programs I want to talk about. I was going to launch right into it here. But, you know, in thinking that, in mentioning that, and then thanking you for your military service, I find it a bit unique, Seth, that, you know, over the years, I think we have seen military advocacy and perhaps education advocacy take different paths. But there's no reason for that. I mean, academia and national defense should go hand in hand. And I think, are you making purposeful effort here to try and bridge that a little more with some of your new programs?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, look, as a veteran myself, I believe it's very important that we honor and that we support those who've worn that flag of the United States on their right shoulder and served this country. That is an obligation that we have. I also believe that veterans are one of this country's most valuable, I'll call it, strategic assets. These are hard workers. These are tough people. These are smart people. These are creative people. These are people with grit. And they have huge, huge potential to contribute meaningfully to their communities beyond their military service. And so we made it a point a few years ago. We set a big audacious goal. We said, look, we want to be the best university in the country in terms of the ways in which we support military and veteran communities. And we created a revamped office of military and veteran services, hired a great new leader for that, Pat Beckwith, who's also a lieutenant colonel in the Montana National Guard. We've revised some of our policies. We've added some new programs. We've looked at how we can better integrate military education with the UM education. And I was pretty excited this year. Earlier in April, I got an email from an organization called Military Friendly Colleges that evaluates universities across the country in terms of how well they serve military and veteran communities. And number one on their list among all the universities in the United States among kind of those top tier research universities, number one on the list, the University of Montana. And so we've seen a growing veteran population. But again, more importantly, I think we're serving those students more effectively than we have. And again, we were proud that others recognize that.
That is good news. That's kind of big news, too. And I know I'm getting late in this segment here, but as we're talking about it, you have a UM military reunion September 11th through the 13th. And I think that's going to be a big time on campus.
Oh, absolutely. And look, Montana, over 10% of our population are veterans. And we want all UM veteran and military affiliated alums to come back to campus. We have a series of events to again, bring folks together. It's been quite a 25 years of this century of the global war on terror and all that we've asked of our military, and obviously extends well beyond just 9/11, well, much earlier. And we want veterans of all ages and service to come back to campus. Let us celebrate you, connect with old friends, and it's going to be a great weekend, September 11th through the 13th.
Looking forward to that, too. Seth Bodner with us. We'll take a break and come on back and put on the plate here. A new College of Science, a doctorate in occupational therapy, if I got that correct, and then working with the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation to establish a new center for hunting conservation. Of course, and dual enrollment opportunities for high school students, keeping college affordable. University of Montana President Seth Bodner with us today. Tomorrow, Tim Sheehy, Montana Senators. One of Montana's senators will stop in studio, former Navy SEAL, firefighter, rancher, entrepreneur as well, spearheading a Veterans Home Loan Awareness Act. We'll talk about that as Senator Sheehy will pop in studio for about a half hour tomorrow. Appreciate him being around. And on the phone again with Montana President Seth Bodner, University of Montana President. We'll pick up. And Seth, good to have you here as well. I hope you had a good summer. Did you get out and get a chance to do anything fun?
We had a good summer. Summer, it's everyone often assumes, oh, higher ed, there aren't as many students around. You must be off. Summer's often busier.
I bet.
Because we got a lot of planning and work to do. But my family and I did get a chance to enjoy the splendors of Montana. We didn't leave the state. We enjoyed this great place we get to call home on weekends and had some family visit, which was great.
That's good. You wouldn't want to be rooked out of that. That's why we live here, right? Yeah, and you got to make a point to get out there and do that because we could work forever and ever. Speaking of work, some new work, University of Montana College of Sciences. They're really putting your arms around UM's pretty solid, STEM curriculum. Talk about this one.
Yeah, look, this is a strength of UM's. It's interesting. UM has such strengths in the arts, the humanities, top-ranked college of business in the region. Those strengths are so large, they often overshadow some of the tremendous strengths we have in the sciences. This is University of Montana is an R1 research university. We've achieved, that was a decades-long goal we achieved in 2022, had that status reaffirmed this past spring. Look at the research output. Our volume of research awards is, I think, 92% higher than it was 7 years ago. Just tremendous growth in terms of research. And that's mostly around the sciences. We have the number one wildlife biology program in the country. We have tremendous strength in natural sciences, life sciences. I think I mentioned already our students get into med school, our pre-med students get into med school at a rate 20 percentage points higher than the national average. So this is a terrific STEM university. But oftentimes people don't think of it that way. And so over the past couple of years, we've been rethinking how do we organizationally align ourselves to better amplify those strengths and build upon those. And so this year we're launching a standalone College of Science. And this is going to provide us an opportunity to not just better promote our STEM offerings here, but make those world-class offerings even better. We're really excited about this.
What's the mechanics behind that? Do you have some scattered classes in different curricula that are now going to fall under the College of Science?
Yeah, some of our various programs and degrees will be aligned, and they'll be together, and they'll be focused. And again, I think when I've always learned in leadership is that when you focus on something and doing it more explicitly. You can do it more intentionally, and you can do it more effectively. And so we have, again, great science programs and offerings across this university today. This college is going to help us really focus our efforts there and make them even better moving forward. So we're really excited about it.
Along with that, occupational therapy doctorate as well. And a focus on healthcare, because we can see as we look at the numbers, that's going to be an industry that we're going to probably fall short in the future.
Oh, absolutely. You know, Montana has a huge, even today, a huge shortage of healthcare professionals, especially in rural areas, Tom. And one of the keys for that is making sure that, yes, we have physicians, but we have other practitioners. And that's one of the reasons that we're launching this fall the state's first doctorate in occupational therapy. We've got our first students starting. And then next fall, we already have the plans in motion for a number of years. We'll welcome our first students into a PA school, the first public option here in the University of Montana. You know, the State Department of Labor estimates that we need to add about 65 to 70 PAs to Montana's workforce every year to meet the growing demand for healthcare in this state. Both these, the OT program, the PA program, are terrific programs that really serve the needs of Montanans, and we're proud to be innovating and adapting our offerings that way.
This seems like a natural next step as well, collaborating with the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, establishing the Center for Hunting and Conservation. Again, you know, melding these two things that we might have traditionally thought were pathing, heading off in different directions. But hunting and conservation, I love how those two things really do go hand in hand.
Absolutely. Again, you know, we see our role as not just serving our students, but serving the needs of this state. And we know that a big part of the Montana way of life is hunting, myself included. I have a 15-year-old son, got his first elk last year, got his first deer a couple years ago, and it's just such an important part of the our way of life here in Montana. And, you know, I think a lot of people are surprised to hear when they learn that the University of Montana actually teaches a course on hunting. We have a program called Hunting for Sustainability that we launched a few years ago in collaboration with the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation. And this is really focused on bringing new hunters into the fold, teaching them the basics of marksmanship, teaching them the basics of hunting rules and guidelines and how to hunt ethically in a way that's compliant with our state's laws and regulations, how to prepare the game once you've successfully harvested. And our goal here with the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation is to advance the science and research at the intersection of hunting and conservation. The goal here is to expand opportunities to not just get more hunters, but also to advance effective wildlife management, not just here in Montana, but far beyond. So really, this center is the first of its kind in the country. And we're thrilled and grateful for the terrific partnership with the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation.
Yeah, I got less than a minute here. Maybe go into it a little more. How, in setting this up, what's a day-to-day activity in the Center for Hunting and Conservation?
So it's, again, we'll continue the education efforts that we're doing with our students, but we're also going to be focused on the science and research necessary to understand the key issues affecting wildlife, focusing on the resource itself. Funding in many cases is dried up for some of the, I'll call it, science-based research to inform our efforts to protect and sustain elk populations, to understand how we think about the various issues in terms of not just wildlife, but land management, and those questions that go into having a healthy hunting ecosystem are also very important to conservation efforts across this state more broadly. And, you know, there's one thing we all know as Montanans, that one of the reasons we love being here is the wildlife, the natural resource, the national treasure that is this state.
Balancing the new and the old, the traditions and where education is taking us in the future. Always the job of those folks in charge of higher higher education. Seth Bodner is with us today, president of the University of Montana, 19th president, appointed in 2018, but previous service as a Green Beret, Special Forces, assistant professor at West Point. He knows when he talks about scholars, he's a Rhodes Scholar and a Truman Scholar, and a business background as well. Seth, I really appreciate, you know, I look at your background and, you know, I find it fascinating that you were led to this area of academia. Maybe talk about how you utilize, you know, General Electric, Chief Digital Officer there, Rhodes Scholar, Special Forces. How has your background informed you and led the University of Montana?
Well, look, I come at this job with a different perspective, perhaps, than somebody who spent their whole career in academia. You know, I come at it with the lens of a business leader, again, with military background. And I see our job as Montana's flagship university to really be that engine of economic growth and prosperity for this state. And so as we're thinking about things, our job is not to live in the ivory tower. Our job is to drive impact for Montanans. And that informs everything we do here. That really is at the core of this university's charter when it was founded in 1893 and remains a key component of what we're focused on today.
Keeping education affordable. I think that's been a focus, yeah. Not only for you, Seth, but for others who have sat in that seat before you. It's been important to Montanans to have a quality university that they can afford to go to. Let's talk about how you guys are achieving that.
Yeah, look, this is again, at the core of our university's mission. You know, we have this trifecta of imperatives, right? You want to have an education that is of world-class quality, and we have that. You want that education to be broadly accessible to Montanans of all backgrounds and walks of life. And then you want to keep that education affordable. It's really hard to do all those things at the same time, but it is core to who we are. And it's something we work really hard at. In fact, if you look at the data of the net price that a Montana resident student is paying today, it is significantly lower than it was 20 years ago. So that narrative of, you know, skyrocketing college costs and things like that, that is true nationally. It is absolutely not true here in Montana. And I'm really proud of the way the Montana university system has worked to keep costs low. Makes my job kind of hard because we have budget challenges and struggles each year. But we need to make sure that an education here at the University of Montana is affordable to everyday Montanans. And again, I'm proud that that the average Montanan is paying significantly less today at the University of Montana than they were 20 years ago. But it's not just the price, right? We have to make sure that we're streamlining the pathways for students to join us here at UM and complete their degree in the fastest way possible. So I'm really proud that our four-year graduation rate, you know, the number of students who are in the percentage of students that are graduating on time, that's improved by a third over where it was 10 years ago. And we're also providing opportunities for students still in high school to begin that college journey through dual enrollment. And a great example of the way we're partnering with high schools is something called the Bronc Fast Track Program. This was launched at Frenchtown High School, Missoula College and UM with Frenchtown. And the goal here, it enables students to complete all their general education requirements and get a UM General Studies certificate while they're still in high school. This saves families tuition dollars and makes the students' path to college much clearer. In fact, the principal over there at Frenchtown, Jay Haynes, you know, he said this is a powerful example of what's possible when high schools and colleges collaborate to reimagine that student journey. And so we're really working hard not just to keep costs low, but streamline students' pathways to and through college to a degree and beyond.
And part of that too is your efforts, as you noted, the four-year graduation rate. That was a concerted effort by the University of Montana. That pays dividends, right? And so I suppose ideas are open for the next concerted effort.
Absolutely. You know, look, as that saying goes, better is always possible, right? And we are continuing to refine and adapt what we do during orientation, what we do in terms of our career readiness efforts, how we're helping students who maybe come to college underprepared. You know, the learning loss that occurred during the pandemic has persisted beyond that. So we're having to adapt, you know, and make sure that, hey, we just don't write students off if through no fault of their own, they didn't graduate high school as prepared perhaps as students were 15 years ago. We could bemoan that problem or we could try to fix it. We're a university that says we don't just want to complain about problems, we want to try to fix them.
I've always been curious about that. COVID, right? We've got COVID kindergartners who are now, you know, getting into junior high. And I've wondered, you know, how much loss there is. What do you see that's tangible there, Seth, that you guys are responding to?
Well, I think we've seen it in terms of preparedness for basic math courses at the university level, for example. And one of the ways we've changed it used to be if you came into college unprepared for math, you entered what was called a remedial pathway. You had to take some courses that you had to get through before you even started earning college credits. And we saw that a lot of students, you know, they didn't make it through those remedial courses. Psychologically, it's even hard to say, gosh, I'm doing all this work and I don't even have any progress toward a degree yet. And these are hard in and of themselves. And one of the innovations we've seen with great data behind is what's called a co-requisite approach, which puts students into the credit earning courses from the start, but with some additional support and a little bit more intentional, focused support to help them kind of catch back up and learn at the same time. And we've seen completion rates in some of those what you call gateway courses increase dramatically. So that's one example, again, of is learning loss real? It is. But there's an old saying, like, you can't change what you ate for breakfast. We can't change what students are coming to us with. What we can do is adapt our practices to best serve them. And again, not by lowering standards, but adapting the way that we're doing things to help more students succeed and reach their full potential.
You and President Seth Bodner with us here. Again, R1 research classification, they achieved that in 2022 and had noted 92% higher research dollars, I think, or projects than 7 years ago. You know, we've been talking about infrastructure here this past couple of days here at Voices of Montana. What's the higher education infrastructure like there at UM?
Well, we're in a really exciting period here at the University of Montana. We are in the midst of the largest infrastructure refresh in campus history. You know, we took a look at our infrastructure, you know, and it was coming up on 8 years ago. I'm finishing my eighth year.
What? I didn't do the math very well on it then. Congratulations.
Well, I was named in 2017, really got here on the ground in December of 2017. And, you know, the first official day was January 1st, 2018. I was just thinking I'll be my ninth homecoming this year because my first real event here was homecoming of 2017. So kind of hard to believe. But when we took a look at our infrastructure back in 2018, 2019, we saw that, look, our age of plant ratio, so the building stock here at the university was about 19% older than our peers. And so we set about very intentionally to invest in making sure that our campus is a safe, healthy, conducive environment for learning and living. You know, we're not building luxury, to be clear. We're not a campus that's ever going to build a lazy river like you'll see some universities. You know, we have the Clark Fork. We don't need a lazy river on campus. We already have one. But we do have to make some upgrades. And I'm really excited. We've put about $385 million of projects that are either completed or in progress into this campus, things like a brand new dining hall that just opened last fall. We broke ground on the first new dorm at the University of Montana in over 30 years. We've refurbished dorms and learning spaces. So we're really excited about these investments that are really going to serve Montanans for generations to come.
Let's talk a little bit. I got like 3 minutes left here, and we could have talked all hour about it. That's why I saved it for last here, because I'm a pretty big sports fan myself, a Grizz alum, and spent some time on the sidelines on the football field as well as in the basketball court. The impact, you guys have measured that, $5 million per game. I'm curious about how that coalesces now with something new on the scene: name, image, and likeness. Yeah. I think that's going to be kind of hard to walk through, sir.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, the college athletics landscape is dynamic, to put it mildly. Yeah. It's changing quite a bit. You know, one thing that I want to emphasize, and I always tell our athletics boosters this when I start meetings with them, and I get some funny looks at first. But I was a student athlete myself in college. I played baseball at West Point. And one of the things I always emphasize is that the point of Grizzly Athletics hasn't changed. And the point of Grizzly Athletics is not actually to win games and championships. The point of Grizzly Athletics is to develop young men and women as leaders of character and impact for their communities. Now, the good news is, when you focus on that, when you focus on building leaders, you're focused on the culture and the character that you're looking to build in your student athletes and in your programs, guess what? Wins follow, right? We want to win. Mm-hmm. And I'm as competitive as a guy as you'll find. But we want to focus on the right things first. And so that spirit continues to permeate Grizzly Athletics. Our students' academic performance is phenomenal, best it's ever been. And we still want to be competitive. We want to win championships. And that matters not just to this university, but as you mentioned, that's vitally important to the economy of Montana. A report that will be released soon, later this month, that shows that each Grizz home football game, and you mentioned it briefly, but each home football game generates more than $5 million of economic impact to this state. That's a huge component of our economy. And so I don't take lightly, you know, of course, the purpose of Grizzly Athletics to develop those young men and women, but also the key economic driver that is Grizzly Athletics.
What does NIL do to that?
Well, look, there's been recent changes over the past 5 years that have said, look, student athletes are out there competing and generating revenue for not just the university, but for the broader community, that those students ought to have the ability to benefit from their name, image, and likeness. And that was legislation that the NCAA went through, and we just reached a settlement called the House Settlement this year that kind of dictates the ways in which universities can both share that revenue that's generated through athletics with the student athletes themselves, as well as how students can benefit from marketing agreements that use their name, image, and likeness. And it's again a dynamic landscape that's changing, and that's why it's even more important than ever that we stay true to those principles and what the purpose of Grizzly Athletics is. But we're adapting. You know, that you said we could talk about this for an hour, and I'd love to. But we're working hard to compete and win, and we feel really good about not just how Grizzly football looks, but Grizz soccer opens officially this week. We've got teams here on campus, and just a tradition of excellence in Grizz soccer. You know, perennial Big Sky champions, coming off a Big Sky championship in men's basketball, and you know, a buzzer beater away from a Big Sky championship in women's basketball. So it's a great time to be a Grizz.
What do you see for, and this will take about a minute here, that's what I have, and thank you for stopping in, you know, coming on, and I appreciate that, and I look forward to chatting with you down the road too, Seth. What do you see, maybe you've got a 60-second answer here, the future of higher education, what is it?
Look, I think the higher education institutions that are gonna thrive are the ones who are focused on impact. Impact on their students. And not just those traditional age students, but students at all ages and stages of their careers. And those universities that are focused on serving the needs of their communities. You know, I'm going around to various communities in Montana right now and saying, hey, what do you need from higher education? How can your flagship university serve your needs? And I think the universities that stay focused on meeting the needs of their students and meeting the needs of the communities that they were chartered to serve, and having the courage to adapt in the ways necessary to meet those needs, those are the universities that are going to thrive. And we see University of Montana among that number of universities that are going to be innovating, adapting, to serve the needs of all Montanans.
Have a dynamic and real enjoyable and successful school year, Seth. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Tom. Great speaking with you.
Yep. Talk to you later. Seth Bodner, University of Montana president, as the new school season gets underway. Thanks for joining us for the podcast, and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.